doing golf course renovation and or even adding, tearing down, rebuilding a new clubhouse can be quite a project, and it's not the only park project that the park district has undertaken in recent years. And part of it led to a pretty special moment for you recently and for people who work within the Illinois Parks and Recreation industry. Winning the award as Executive of the Year had to be pretty special for you and your team that works with you here at the Northbrook Park District.
Yes, I agree. It was very much a surprise and truly an honor. I was humbled.
I understand that your staff knew and they were trying to keep it away from you so that when you went to the luncheon that you wouldn't even know until they called your name.
That is accurate. I was amazed at how long they knew, how many of them knew. And I was so startled and surprised. They definitely did a great job of keeping a secret, and my family as well. So there was a big secret. And then once the award was announced and I had received the award and luncheon was over, I heard countless stories about all the times people had to lie to me about things that I was asking questions about. So we had a lot of fun over the next couple of days kind of reflecting on these times where they were telling me things that really weren't fully true, but it was all in the spirit of keeping that a surprise, which they succeeded.
Well, prior to joining the Northbrook Park District, you worked over at Schaumburg. Tell us a little bit about your trail of working with Park District or Park Districts before you got here, and were actually sort of involved in some other golf-related work at other places.
So my career in Parks and Rec started, as you say, at the Schaumburg Park District. I went to the University of Illinois, graduated in the early 80s, and the degree at that time was called Leisure Studies. Today, that same department is Recreation, Sport, and Tourism. And my first job with Schaumburg was a great opportunity. I was there from 1981 to 1992. In the 80s, there was a lot of growth, not only in fitness and a lot of different programming for Parks and Rec, but also golf. And at that time, the Schaumburg Park District took over what was then Green Acres and took down the clubhouse and renovated that course and built a brand new clubhouse, which is there today, Chandler's. And in that time of that project, I was the superintendent of recreation, so I wasn't intimately involved with it, but it was really fun to kind of sit on the sidelines and be in meetings and listen to what was going on and observe the whole process. I have a love of golf. I am learning to golf myself. I just think it's an amazing sport. It was really exciting to be part of this project. My second job after Schaumburg, actually when my husband Mike and I were living in Schaumburg, we were blessed with three babies on the same day. We had triplets. That was not necessarily something that was really part of the master plan. We knew we wanted to have a family. They were born on a Tuesday. They all came home with me on a Saturday. Mike went out and bought a van and picked us up from the hospital. Home we went with three babies. And so we determined that we needed to be a little closer to home and family. And so we moved to Geneseo, Illinois, which is the town in which I was raised. And there's a fabulous park district there. And I became a commissioner. And the kids were born in 92, and I believe it was like 94. I was on the board of commissioners and then continued to be elected, and I served there for 10 years. And Geneseo doesn't have any golf that's under the oversight of the park district. We did some interesting things during the time I was a commissioner, and then the long-term director retired, and I decided this may be an opportunity to get back into my industry. So I applied for that job and became the executive director of the Geneseo Park District and served in that capacity for 9 years. And it was during that time that I got the experience with construction, because we had a very old, dated outdoor swimming pool, and it was really at the end of its useful life. So we completely demolished that pool and rebuilt a pool, and a construction project like that really teaches you a lot. And then the job in Northbrook opened up. And I really didn't think about leaving Geneseo because I love my hometown and I was close to family and it was a great place to raise our kids, but they were all up and out of school. They all three went to University of Illinois as well and had their careers started. And so I looked real hard at this job and what this community had to offer, and it looked like a good fit. Mm-hmm. So I applied and was very honored and excited to be appointed the executive director.
You know, one of the things with the park district, there's so many different things. There's different types of facilities. You're keeping tennis courts, basketball courts, running paths, and in some cases, golf courses going along with pools and also water slide places and all these different things. And I know the Northbrook Park District has taken on a lot of different projects in recent years. But tell us how it was decided that the famed, longtime known Sportsman's Golf and Country Club was ready for a redo, and not just a little bit here or a coat of paint there. It was ready for a real redo, a rebuilding of a clubhouse, work on the golf course, and then in the process, sort of rebranding the name and the whole process of what you have here.
And I would say that it was driven by the residents. There's seven elected officials that are elected by the community to serve as the commissioners of the park district. So it's a separate entity, a separate unit of local government than the village. And so the Northbrook Park District oversees over 550 acres. When I was hired, the board said to me, we have been surveying our community repeatedly, about every 2 years. We feel like we know that there's a consistency in what they're asking for as their top priority is investment. We need to roll up our sleeves and get that done. And we were in the process when I was hired of finishing up a comprehensive master plan. So the comprehensive master plan was adopted in February of 17, and I took the board off-site for an entire day with the plans to say, we're going to look at the priorities of our community, and we're going to decide how are we going to allocate funding, and how are we going to deliver what they've been asking for. The staff was bringing to the board what all of the data that we had said, and having the board give direction of what are our marching orders, what's our next step. Well, one thing that was very clear was an indoor facility with a gymnasium, an indoor walking track, dedicated space for fitness. The other thing that emerged in all of the studies and all of the input from the residents of Northbrook was the desire for golf to be, the assets to be improved continually, that golf was very important to this community. And so as we started to look at that, there's 27 holes of golf here, and then there's a par 3 at Annett's. And so we're in the golf business. We're a park district that has almost 50% of our land holdings in golf. And if we're not improving that and stepping up and being a leader, then really every time you don't step forward, you're stepping back. We looked at that and we realized that our mission is to provide outstanding services, and our vision is to be an innovative leader, and that hasn't changed. So in that workshop, the board said, the community's priority is clearly golf. We are allocating funding to take a look at what's happening at Sportsman's and bring it forward into what's happening in the industry, improve the asset, deliver golf to the community of Northbrook. So our team got together and we hired a vertical architect and we hired a golf course architect, and we began to study what was happening out here. We knew that we needed better drainage. We knew from working with the amazing golf team, Director Greg Barron, our head pro John Billiter, our instructor Michael Wenzel, you know, we have award-winning golf team here. And we have a board that's very committed. The chair of the golf committee, Michael Ziering, golfs on a regular basis. He understands the sport. And so we took the advice of our consultants, the study that was done. We did some more studies. We did a business study about what would food and beverage look like in a clubhouse and a restaurant. We did another study about what are the highest priorities for the course itself. A very calculated, strategic plan that we put in place, and it was determined that the greens were bad. We've got actually kind of a reputation for having the greens bad. So that's expensive, but it's a high priority. We're going to rebuild the greens. We want to have tee boxes that offer forward tees for people that are short ball hitter. And, you know, it went on like that, where we didn't really change the routing of the course as much. Number one got a little length, and 18 changed a tiny bit because it was very important that the golf experience was the best for the golfer. This is an amazing asset to the community. We want to see non-golfers have an opportunity to enjoy this land, this space, this open space. It's so beautiful. So by taking down that old clubhouse, it was in the wrong spot for various reasons because of what had happened. We've been here over 90 years. And lift up the land here, you know, the excavation was to build up here and to put a brand new clubhouse where we sit today, you and I, Rory, looking down the 18th fairway. And yet, even if you're not a golfer, this beautiful terrace, it's just a beautiful place to be. And one of the things that we learned with our market study was that there was leakage in the food and beverage market in this area for a full service restaurant. It was rather a desert in this area for a full service restaurant. We're not in the food and beverage business, so we went out, we outsourced that. And we've seen the restaurant business pick up. And some of the people that call this place home aren't golfers necessarily because they want to come for the restaurant. Mm. But that really met the goal of the board which was to make what was Sportsman's, which is now Heritage Oaks, a place where the golfers found their home that was improved and cutting edge, but also where other people from the community could enjoy the beauty. So we all know that technology takes a huge part of the pie of our life. Sport and technology are crossing. Golf is the perfect sport to connect with technology. And so we, our golf guys, you know, Greg and John and the team are always going to the golf shows and to the conferences and the merchandise show in Orlando. And they took me along a couple times, and we took our golf chair from the commissioner group and really studied what would be the best way to incorporate technology into this project. The decision was made to put TrackMan Range at our practice facility, which is radar, which tracks your ball, as you know, every piece of data you could possibly want. You know, you're getting all your data. We were the first ones in all of Illinois, let alone the Chicagoland area, to install TrackMan at the range. And our range, I think Greg told us there over 2 million balls were struck from there just last year, and is just increasing because people love the technology. But, you know, we've got a lot of visibility. So we're thrilled with TrackMan. It was very much worth the investment. And then the indoor simulators in the right off the restaurant here in the clubhouse are an opportunity for people to see the ball fly in the winter. And it is an opportunity to play other games. We've been really thrilled with the simulators. They're booked constantly. And as you know, we have a really high quality, top-notch academy. And so another component is our practice facility at the east end of the range, where we can have 24 young golfers learning to play golf and growing the game of golf, and the serious golfers can be over here. They can see them, you know, but they're not necessarily underfoot. There's a way to keep them all on the property at the same time in a way that really, I think the traffic flow has been wonderful. A 10,000 square foot putting green, which is just beautiful. You can sit right here in one of these Adirondack chairs and sip on a cup of coffee in the morning or a cold beer in the evening. And it's just fun to watch people putt around before they play or after they play, or just come out to play some putting games. The chipping area, the short game area over here is amazing.
Tell us about getting the project online. Seen some other park districts, there's always detractors when you start talking about making that kind of investment. They say, well, everybody doesn't play golf. We need a pool. Well, everybody doesn't swim. And as you well know, golf more often than not can be the one part of the operation of a park district that actually brings in money and makes a profit instead of losing money like certain other things that normal park districts provide their area residents.
That's true. I think it's well known in our industry that aquatic facilities are often subsidized by the taxpayer. We live in Illinois. The Midwest is going to bring weather that offers, you know, 2.5, maybe 3 months of outdoor swimming. You know, it's a known cost to a district. And yet, you know, there are very few families that when their children are young, don't love going to the pool. But you're right that golf is a sport that some have this notion that you either play or you don't. So if you're not a golfer, what's in it for me, this capital investment in this business of golf, mm-hmm. and which is one of the reasons the board directed us to find ways to make this facility, Heritage Oaks, something that others can enjoy as well, which is where the restaurant comes in, and the room that we're in right now is a rental space, beautiful space for showers and that type of thing. But as far as the golfing goes, the data about our community shows that Northbrook residents have a propensity to golf. Certainly all of them don't. But I think it goes back to maintaining our assets. If you look at the results of surveys, over and again, our residents are interested in the park district maintaining what we have. And with 36 holes of golf and 200 plus acres of golf, it's so important that we stay current, that our facilities are excellent in a way that's going to drive revenue. And so, you know, I think there are oftentimes people that have varied opinions about initiatives like that, but we have a very strong fiscal base, and we were able to do the project with reserves that had been set aside and the two projects that we did, and by issuing bonds. We had retired quite a bit of debt, and we were prepared to issue bonds and to do these projects with the financing that we had available that did not impact the taxpayer at the time. I think it's a strong financial planning piece that really helps people understand sometimes that maybe they're not a golfer, but these are assets that their park district has that really probably impact them in a positive way in some way because of the value of what's here.
Tell us a little bit about the name change. You know, there's still people that walk in. I've had people today. I'm always going to call it Sportsman's. But you not only changed the golf course a little bit, you built a brand new clubhouse, but you changed the name and sort of not only built a new place, but you rebranded it as well.
That was another very strategic component of this project. Sportsman's Country Club, and it wasn't a country club. We have a public golf course here. And Sportsman's, we found, was a dated name, really. There was an outreach, like we did several focus groups, and regardless of the demographic, we were hearing from people that a change could be a good thing. I believe the people that didn't like the change are probably in the minority, but they're also more vocal. And so, you know, we made the decision that with all of the changes that were happening here, now would be the time to rebrand. Sportsman's was here for over 90 years. The rebranding for the lion's share of what it means to this project has been extremely successful. Did focus groups, you know, really looked at so many different logos and names and inspired by a variety of different things, not only the landscape of where we are, but the game of golf and how it fits into the town of Northbrook. And the oak trees here are so beautiful. And as you drive up the drive, you know, going north to south, you see these heritage oaks. And actually, as we were coming out to share the site with the consulting team that we had hired, we were pointing out the heritage oaks. And, you know, we all kind of heard ourselves say that. We didn't know that that would be the name someday. You know, we explored a lot of different names and made sure that we were finding something that was unique, that wasn't from somewhere else, but that spoke to not only the heritage of the long time public course that is here, but also the beauty of the oak trees that have been here for hundreds of years as well. And then it just played so beautifully into the acorn grill and terrace. And I think the logo is rather amazing because I see it on your shirt, you can see it on a golf ball or a hat, which means it's pretty small, and yet it's splayed on the side of the building and still looks amazing. A nod to the golfer with the, what would be a stem, looks like a tee. I just think it's subtle, and I'm saying how I feel about it, but received a lot of positive comments about the logo, the way it appears on various different things, and just what it means.
From people that love this and they love that. And they always have that one, oh, by the way, when they did the thing, is there a reason why they didn't do this? Or are they going to do that? I know that there's probably some areas that you could probably include into a phase two about heritage oaks. What is the board, yourself, and the golf team looking at as heritage oaks continues to grow and develop over the next few years?
When you've got facilities and land and buildings, you're always looking to make sure that they're not only in good shape, but you're repairing them as needed and that type of thing. So just this spring, we went for another board retreat. And we have accomplished a lot, and it's time to reset and look at what is happening going forward. We've updated our master plan, and we propose to the board that we do an assessment of the current conditions of all of our golf course land. There's a lot underneath the ground. You know, there's irrigation and drainage and that type of thing, wells. I mean, we have wells here that irrigate the property. And so there's the maintenance of the existing facilities, but then there's also the improvements that enhance the experience for the user. We decided that it was important to put together a long-term plan. So we're doing a golf assessment now, and we're going to develop a master plan. And certainly when we did these renovations, there were things we wanted to do that didn't make the cut, so to speak. It's very important, and every capital project I'm on, it is stay on budget and stay on time. We want to finish on budget and on time. So I'm very proud that we did this with this project because it was complicated. But, you know, the bunkers we didn't touch. And we'd love to see shade structures at the range. And our cart pad right now, which sits out there, we are going to put a fence around that. But there's other improvements that the golfer would see.
Or cart paths.
Paths is another one. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of capital investment that does or doesn't produce revenue, you know, that's something that would really help us get out after a rain event. Mm-hmm. And so that's being looked at. But anytime you put an impervious surface out on the golf course like that, then there's going to be consideration of stormwater and drainage. And we did look at that when we were doing the project this time. What would that look like if we took the paths into the areas where they currently don't exist. And so Rick Jacobson, which I can't say enough about, what a great team player he was as the golf course architect, and he's now retiring. And so as we'll pass the torch to another architect, we're not sure who that is just yet, but that is part of this golf master plan, I'll call it, that we're going to be beginning to put together in 2023. So that by the end of this year and into next year, it's in development. And next year at this time, we should have a clear plan and a roadmap of the improvements that we want to see, the maintenance that we need to do. I mean, think of all the vehicles that we have out here. And technology is always training with vehicles, improving with vehicles as well. So we want to keep our fleet of vehicles up to speed. It's pretty incredible what goes into a golf course to keep it a quality experience for the player.
It seems like it's increased, especially since the reopening. I know of one golf property that when new ownership came in, the first thing they realized is all of their maintenance equipment, the reason why a lot of it didn't work, it was all at least 10 years old. So the first thing the new owner did is he made a deal with John Deere Corporation to bring in new equipment. It's a $4 million investment over 4 years. And so I know I see some John Deere equipment here on the property. There's some Toro, but how new some of that is, how old some of it is. And I'm sure as you work through year by year with your budgets that the superintendent and his staff are probably looking for some new machinery. Mm-hmm. And there are things that, even when it comes to aerating the golf course, golfers hate it, but it's a necessity. But there's now ways to do it without putting big plug holes in that people don't want to putt over for the next 2 weeks.
2 weeks, exactly.
And it seems like now with some of the slit aerations, there's ways to restore your greens a little faster, but still get the prime directive done there.
Again, the technology is out there and we like to stay on top of it. We have a full-time mechanic here because of all of our machinery. And then Bill Meyer, who oversees the grounds here at golf and actually all the turf throughout the whole park district, and then Chris Holt, who's basically the superintendent. Between the two of them, their knowledge base is just incredible. And the machinery that's programmed to fertilize just the right amount, I can barely speak to how complicated it is, how it's all programmed computer-wise, and then it gets the job done. I'm very proud of them. They're experts. To them, this isn't grass, it's golf. Mm-hmm. It's golf turf, and they just do an amazing job for us. And mm-hmm. So, the vehicles and the fleet that we have is so important to give them the tools they need.
You have another 9-hole course here at the property. I don't know how much Rick touched during the renovation process out on that course. Plus, you have another 9-hole course off of this property, Annitzberger, and there's people that come here, they love to play there, and they say, okay, now that you did Heritage Oaks, when are we going to do Annitzberger? And or did they, people look and they're kind of like, well, how much did they really do to your 9-hole course when they were working on Heritage Oaks? You've got another 18 holes out there that, in addition to the classic 18 here, could use maybe some improvements over the next few years. And I know it seems like your golfers that come out here are anxious to see that happen as they did the project that you already undertook.
Here at Heritage Oaks, we have the classic 18, which is where we rebuilt the greens completely. And then we regrassed the fairways and we regrassed the tees. The Legacy 9, what we did there was regrass greens, tees, and fairways. So we regrassed there and we did irrigation improvements. We replaced all the irrigation heads and some drainage throughout the course, but mostly over here. At Annitz, we didn't really work on Annitz through the project here at Heritage Oaks. But we did recently invest in the well pump and the irrigation at Annitz, and we're looking at that in our golf course assessment so that it becomes part of the master plan. That's one thing COVID did, was drive people to outdoor recreation, and we saw so much play at Annitzberg. It was Annitzberger Golf Course. It was pretty incredible. We doubled our rounds over there. Mm-hmm. And so I think we went from like 22,000 to over 50,000 rounds during that time. And so we want to make sure that we keep that course in great condition for the par 3 golfer. It's an amazing opportunity to advance through the sport of golf here at the Northbrook Park District. We have a par 3 where you can walk and learn to play short game, and then we have a 9-hole course and an 18-hole course and indoor golf and a range. I mean, we've got it all. Those places that you mentioned, the East 9, did get some, was touched a bit in the project, and then Annitzberger's on the on the docket?
There's a lot of different ways these type of projects get approached. Some people try to do it all at once. Some people will do it in stages. Oh, we want to make sure we keep at least 9 holes open all the time. But those projects take longer. And after a while, people say, you know what, we should have done it all at once. What was the logic and the philosophy in used in what you did? And there's so many other park districts that are looking at doing things, maybe not even as extensive as what's been done here, but should we do it all at once? Should we just close? Should we do part of it? Should we try to keep it open so we can keep our people working, keep some kind of a revenue stream? Any advice to people that are looking at taking on the next type of golf project that you did here at Heritage Oaks?
That was a big conversation for us. I understand exactly what you're talking about. We talked endlessly about it. And as far as advice, you know, I really do think that each course and its patrons, its golfers, its community is different. For us, we felt that a major disruption for a period of time and then be done was the way to go. And one way that we would leverage the bookends of the year is that we closed early in the fall. So we got those months and then we were closed an entire season and then we opened a little later that next spring. But the two seasons on either side of that were shortened. Yeah. When we opened in 2021, it was August 16th. And so a shortened season really worked for us because Greg and John and those guys, they had to kind of figure out what the new operations look like. Everything from the bag drop. I mean, where our clubhouse sits now, if you're working behind the desk in the golf shop, you can see the cart pad, you can see the bag drop, the first tee on the 18 and on the 9, and you can see the practice green. So you can see everything that's going on. It wasn't like that before. That's an advantage, but we still needed to understand the traffic flow and how things were going to happen. So from August until we closed in 21 was a real learning lesson. And then they just kind of put their nose to the grindstone over the winter and developed the plan for opening last year, which was our first full year. So that's the way we did it, and I think it was a good decision.
Thanks for joining us in Golfers on Golf and shedding a little more light on the brand new golf operation and the brand new Heritage Oaks Golf Club here in Northbrook.